Have you printed out the free coloring sheet for this lesson? You can download and print it at the link in our show notes. And you can access full lesson activity guides, bonus videos, nature devotions, and our themed Bible and nature scavenger hunts in the Nat Theo Club. When you join, you receive new resources every week and access to all our back content. Dive deeper into God's creation and the Bible in the Nat Theo Club at erinlynham.com/club or at the link in our show notes. Are you ready to explore God's wild and wonderful world? Welcome to the Nat Theo Podcast. I'm your host, Erin Lynham. I'm a certified master naturalist, Bible teacher, and author, and I am so excited to dive into God's written word, the Bible, and His created world with you. Have you ever seen a cuddly fish? It's hard to imagine cuddling a fish because they live their lives under the water. And for the most part, they should not be brought up above the water. And so what's the deal with the creature we are learning about today? The cuttlefish. Last year, my family and I visited the Seattle Aquarium in the state of Washington. We were wowed by huge aquariums full of brightly colored fish, jellyfish, sharks, seahorses, and all kinds of underwater creatures. But what I was most in awe of was a small aquarium with strange and fascinating creatures. These creatures were smaller than my hand, and they kind of swam in place, not moving side to side or forward much, but kind of hovering in the water. One of the creatures was right up at the glass, kind of like it was watching me as I was watching it. It had short arms swaying out in front of it, almost as if it was waving at my daughter and me as we watched. I stayed and watched these creatures for quite a while. I had recently learned what they were, and now I had the opportunity to see them in person. What I was watching were cuttlefish. And as we will find out today, they were not fish at all. And they really should not be cuddled. Here is our trail map.
Are you ready?
We are going to discover, is a cuttlefish a fish? Is a cuttlefish cuddly? Do cuttlefish have a jetpack? And how can we make a quick getaway from the dangers of sin? Before we hit the trail, let's thank our sponsor who made this lesson possible, Apologia Curriculum. Our family has been using Apologia's award-winning science curriculum for 3 years now, and I cannot recommend it enough. Not only do my kids, ages 7 to 14, enjoy their courses, but I regularly use their resources for researching Nat Theo lessons. In fact, I used their Swimming Creatures of the Fifth Day book to learn about the cuttlefish we are discovering today. I'm so grateful for the faith conversations that Apologia inspires in our home as we explore creation together. Apologia teaches from a biblical worldview, keeping Christ right at the center of science. I love reading Apologia's textbooks with my children. They are rich with beautiful photography and an easy conversational tone that helps us understand big ideas in science and how they reflect our Creator God. Reconnect the dots between creation and Creator with Apologia Science at apologia.com or at the link in our show notes. Before we hit the trail, here is our trivia question. Today, we will be learning about a cuttlefish's unique cuttle bone. As you learn what the cuttle bone is, be thinking about our trivia question. Here it is. How do pet birds use a cuttle bone? A, as a toy to play with. B, as a snack to peck at and eat. C, as a perch to sit on. Or D, as a mirror for company. Again, how do pet birds use a cuddle bone? A, as a toy to play with. B, as a snack to peck at and eat. C, as a perch to sit on. or D as a mirror for company? Take a guess and we will find out at the end of today's lesson. And Nat Theo Club members, after this lesson, click over to our bonus video where I will show you videos of the cuttlefish that my daughter and I watched at the Seattle Aquarium, along with some other fun creatures we saw that day. You can find that bonus video in your Nat Theo Club dashboard or at the link in our show notes. Listeners, if you would like to dive deeper with weekly activity guides, bonus videos, nature devotions, and our nature and Bible scavenger hunts, you can access all of our extra materials in the Nat Theo Club at the link in our show notes. And here is a recent review from one of our listeners, Hattie. Hattie says, "This is perfect. It's interesting. It helps you learn about Jesus, God, and science. I've never loved any Bible podcast more. Something I'm so surprised is how you mix together the Bible and science so perfectly to be able to make it so interesting. The science lovers out there, you guys should listen to this." Thank you so much for your encouraging review, Hattie. Listeners, please take a moment to leave a review and a rating on Apple Podcasts. All right, let's hit the trail. Something that we should understand right away is that despite its name of a cuttlefish is not a fish at all. Let's look closely at the category of animals that a cuttlefish belongs to. Cuttlefish are, of course, animals. But what kind of animal are they? If we were to place all animals into a box, of course, that would be a massive box, but it would also have smaller compartments, kind of like if you've ever used a fishing tackle box or a jewelry box that has different sections. Or maybe you sort your Legos or beads into a box with separate sections. Well, our big box of animals is called a kingdom, the animal kingdom. In the animal kingdom box, there are smaller sections called phylums. Animals are sorted into these different phylum sections. The phylum section that cuttlefish belong to is called mollusks. Now, this mollusk section, it has many interesting creatures, including snails, slugs, clams, oysters, mussels and scallops, squid, octopus, nautilus, and of course, the cuttlefish. That is a lot of interesting creatures. This is actually my favorite phylum or section of the animal kingdom because it has creatures that are so bizarre and wonderful as snails, octopus, and the cuttlefish. So mollusks are a category of animals that have soft bodies. Some have shells for protection. Some crawl on one big foot, like snails. Some have two shells that open and close, like clams. And some swim using arms and jets, like squid and octopus. Now, maybe as you listen to that list of mollusks, you were thinking, wait, a snail in a garden is very different from a giant squid or octopus. And of course, you're right. That is why in our mollusk section of our animal box, there are even smaller sections called classes. Think about how students might be divided up in a school or church setting by classes, maybe because they share ages or grades in common. Animals in the mollusk section are further divided into smaller classes because they share things in common. The class that cuttlefish belong to is called cephalopods. What animals are in the cephalopod class? Squid, octopus, nautilus, and the cuttlefish. The nautilus is the only type of cephalopod that has a hard outer shell. The octopus, squid, and cuttlefish do not have hard outer shells. Can you picture our animal box now? The animal box is full of all the many creatures that God made. In a smaller section called mollusks, there are lots of interesting soft-bodied creatures. And in an even smaller section called cephalopods, we find octopus, squid, nautilus, and the cuttlefish. Of course, God did not make these categories. Instead, scientists over many, many years have worked very hard to better understand the details of creatures and to sort them in a way that makes them easier for us to understand. As we learn about these categories of creatures in nature and what some creatures share in common, we can glimpse God's artistic style. God made some creatures to share things in common with other creatures, which is kind of like an artist using a favorite brush stroke, color, texture, or scenery across different paintings. But what makes the cuttlefish unique? How is it different from the other cephalopods, including squid, octopus, and nautilus? For one, the cuttlefish's eye pupils are very different. An eye pupil is the dark circle at the center of an eye. It works kind of like a window, letting light in. The black pupil in the cuttlefish's eye, it is not round like a human's eye pupil. It is also not a horizontal line like an octopus eye pupil or a small pinpoint like the eye pupil in the nautilus. Instead, the cuttlefish has an eye pupil that is in the shape of the letter W. Scientists believe the W-shaped eye pupil helps the cuttlefish see better in its underwater world. Cuttlefish can change colors like octopus can, but cuttlefish are actually far better at this than octopus are, and that is impressive. If you have listened to lesson 64 on how octopus change shapes and colors, you might remember that octopus are designed very well to rapidly change colors. However, the cuttlefish can do this even better, displaying amazing colors and patterns on its skin. Cuttlefish also have a unique way of moving through the water. They often hover in place or glide gracefully through the water using little fins that ripple alongside their bodies, almost like they're gently flying or hovering underwater. One thing that helps them with this graceful movement is called a cuttle bone, which is another thing that is special to cuttlefish and that sets them apart from other cephalopods. In fact, no other animal has been discovered that has a cuttle bone. It is unique and special to cuttlefish. The cuttle bone is where the cuttlefish gets its name. You see, cuttle in this case, it is spelled differently than cuddle, like you might cuddle a soft animal or a stuffed animal. Cuttlefish and cuttle bone is spelled with the letter T instead of D. C-U-T-T-L-E. So cuttlefish are not cuddly fish. And as we learned, they're not fish at all. They are a cephalopod with something called a cuttle bone. But what exactly is that cuttle bone? Well, just as a cuttlefish is not a fish, a cuttle bone is not a bone. The cuttlefish and its cuttle bone are great reminders that in nature and science, we need to do the hard work of looking at the details to really see what something is and what something isn't. The cuttle bone is actually a shell, and it's not on the outside of the animal's body, like a snail's shell, but rather on the inside, so we cannot actually see it. As it is a shell, it is created in a similar way to other shells. We've talked about how shells are made on a couple of our episodes, including lesson 46 on seashells and lesson 93 on snails. The cuttle bone, which is actually a shell, is made mostly from a material called calcium carbonate. Calcium carbonate is a mineral or a material from nature found in things like animal shells, eggshells, chalk, and limestone. But where does the calcium carbonate come from? And how does the cuttlefish use that calcium carbonate to create an inside shell? The cuttlefish has a special organ or part of its body called a mantle. God designed all mollusks, from the giant squid to the tiny garden snail, with this special mantle organ. Some mollusks use the mantle to take in calcium carbonate and use it to create a shell. A cuttlefish uses its special mantle organ to take in calcium carbonate from the seawater around it. And then the mantle organ can use that calcium carbonate to create the internal shell called a cuttlebone. But what is the cuttlebone used for? Do you remember that cuttlefish have a unique way of moving through the water? They seem to glide gracefully and even hover in place with their ribbon-like fins waving at the sides of their body. It's not only their ribbon-like fins that help the cuttlefish hover in place and swim so gracefully. The cuttlebone also helps with this. The cuttlebone has lots of tiny chambers, kind of like sections or spaces inside of that shell. These chambers can hold either gas or liquid. When the cuttlefish wants to float up in the water, it pumps liquid out of the chambers so gas can fill them, which makes it lighter. When the cuttlefish wants to sink down in the water, it lets liquid back into the chambers, which pushes out the gas and makes the cuttlefish heavier so it can sink. So the cuttlefish uses its very unique cuttlebone to move up or down in the water. But what might the cuttlefish do if danger lurks? Imagine a shark or another large fish or a dolphin or whale swimming near to the cuttlefish looking for a tasty snack. It will do that cuttlefish no good to hover in place or swim gracefully. So God designed the cuttlefish with a quick getaway method, and it's similar to other cephalopods. All cephalopods, so squid, octopus, nautilus, and cuttlefish, have a siphon, kind of like a hose. Think about an octopus using its siphon to quickly blow out water, which shoots its body in the opposite direction. A cuttlefish can do the same. The siphon on a cuttlefish and other cephalopods is called a hypanome. The hypanome siphon is useful to a cuttlefish in a few different ways. Like an octopus, it can use the hypanome to shoot out a cloud of ink when it is threatened by a predator. It also uses its hypanome to blow water over the sand surface to uncover shrimp, which it loves to eat. Once it uncovers a shrimp, it rapidly shoots out its long two tentacles with sucker discs to grab and bring the shrimp to its mouth. Cuttlefish also use their hypanome, kind of like a jetpack, to make a quick getaway from predators. Now, the cuttlefish's jetpack is not using gas or fuel. Instead, it uses water. Have you ever seen a water jetpack? I have watched videos of people using water jetpacks on lakes or oceans. The jetpack shoots out a strong force of water beneath the person, which propels the person up above the water's surface. This is kind of how a cuttlefish's jetpack siphon works. Of course, they are not shooting themselves up and out of the water, but instead they can shoot out water using their hypanome siphon, which propels their body quickly in the opposite direction. So while a cuttlefish is known for its slow and graceful movements, it can also use its special hypanome siphon to make a quick getaway when danger lurks. Like a cuttlefish, we sometimes need to make a quick getaway. Hopefully not from a large fish or dolphin, but from the dangers of sin and temptation. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, "But run away from the evil desires of youth. Try hard to live right and to have faith, love, and peace, together with those who trust in the Lord from pure hearts." Listeners, we are to try hard to have faith and love and peace, not in our own strength, but by the power of Christ. And that sometimes includes running away from the dangers of temptation and sin. Have you ever heard of Joseph in the Bible? God used Joseph in many ways. And at one time, Joseph had to flee the temptation of sin. In Genesis chapter 39, a woman who was not Joseph's wife and was actually the wife of another man wanted Joseph to be with her in a way that only a husband and wife should be together. And Joseph knew that to do this would go against God's ways. Joseph did not stick around. In verse 12, we read that he fled. He literally ran away from the temptation to sin, kind of like a cuttlefish using its hypanome siphon jetpack to flee quickly from danger. Listeners, when we are faced with the temptation to sin, and maybe we're thinking about doing something that we know goes against God and His ways, we should make a quick getaway. And guess what? God gives us the power to run away from sin and toward His safety. 1 Corinthians 10:13 makes this promise, "But you can trust God, who will not permit you to be tempted more than you can stand. But when you are tempted, He will also give you a way to escape so that you will be able to stand it." Like a cuttlefish's specially designed siphon, God gives us what we need to make a quick getaway from the dangers of sin. And do you know what happens as we practice fleeing from temptation and sin? The enemy will start fleeing from us. James 4:7 says, "So give yourselves completely to God. Stand against the devil, and the devil will run from you." As we live by God's ways, the enemy will see God's power in our lives, and he will have to make a quick getaway from us. So listener, whenever you think of, or perhaps get to see a cuttlefish, remember how God uniquely designed it with its W-shaped pupils, gas-filled cuttle bone, and hypanome jetpack, and how God has made you unique and special, and gives you everything that you need to flee from the dangers of sin and remain in God's safety. It's time now to answer a question from one of our listeners. Here is today's question.
Hello, my name is Jaya. I'm 10 years old. I live in Iowa. My question is, how do dogs have such a good smell, and why do they eat so many things?
That is a great question, Jaya. How do dogs have such good smell, and why do they eat so many things? Dogs sense the world mainly through their nose. God gave them an amazing ability to smell even the tiniest amounts of things. A droplet of sweat, a crumb of food, or even the trail of an animal that walked by can all be detected by a dog's nose. Dogs can smell 1 picogram of scent. That is so tiny that it's kind of like being able to smell 1 drop of scent inside an Olympic-sized pool. Isn't that amazing? When dogs walk outside, they are gathering information with every sniff of their nose. That's why they may stop at a tree or a patch of grass to figure out what or who has been there before them. Sometimes dogs will also eat strange things. They might eat grass to help settle an upset stomach. They may eat other things to cover or remove a scent. Sometimes they just try eating things because they're curious about how it might taste. But because of this, we need to be careful to protect our pet dogs from their own curiosity and make sure that they are only eating things that are good for them. Dogs are wonderful animals that God made, and He designed them to sense the world around them through smell and taste. Thank you for your great question, Jaya. Stay curious about God's wild and wonderful world. And Nat Theo Club members, remember after this lesson to click over to the bonus video where I am going to share with you videos I took of cuttlefish that my family saw last year, along with other creatures that we saw at the Seattle Aquarium. You can find that bonus video at the link in our show notes or your Nat Theo Club dashboard. All right, it's time to answer our trivia question. What do pet birds use a cuddle bone for? A, as a toy to play with. B, as a snack to peck at and eat. C, as a perch to sit on. Or D, as a mirror for company. The answer is B, as a snack to peck at and eat. Remember that the cuddle bone in a cuttlefish is made from a mineral called calcium carbonate. The minerals in a cuddle bone are helpful for birds. So birds peck at a cuddle bone to keep their beak strong and to get extra calcium. Cuddle bones can be bought in the bird section of most pet stores for this purpose. Now it's your turn to explore. Go on a nature walk and look for animals making a quick getaway. Maybe it is a rabbit darting away from you as you walk near, or a bird darting away from another bird, or an insect struggling and freeing itself from a spider's sticky web, or a butterfly swiftly flying away as you approach. Watch and wonder at how God designed creatures to make a quick getaway from danger and to stay safe and well. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this lesson on the cuttlefish, please take a moment to share it with a friend. And subscribe, rate, and review Nat Theo wherever you listen. Until next time, keep exploring God's wild and wonderful world. We are all